Well, this has already been a special day as we recognize those who teach. Now we are going to make this day extraordinary as we honor those members of this congregation that are graduating or have already graduated from high school, college, and graduate school. While I hope that all of you will listen to what I have to say this morning, I would like to direct my comments specifically to our graduates and tell them the following. Your church family is very proud of you. It is exciting to see you take this next great step in the adventure that is your life. We want you to know that in addition to offering you our love, we will also be sending each of you a pledge card. Please fill it out and send it back ASAP. I also want to tell you of a proud mother who was about to take a photograph of her recently graduated son and his father. She said, "Son, put your arm around your father and look natural." The father shot back, "If you want him to look natural, then have him put his hand in my pocket." And let me finally tell you of a recent graduate that showed up on the stock exchange for his first day of work. The manager shook his hand and gave him a broom. "Your first job will be to sweep the trading floor," he said. The graduate looked at him and said, "But I've got a diploma." "Oh, I'm sorry," said the manager. "I didn't know that. Here, give me the broom. I'll show you how to do it." Now, with all of that out of the way, we can turn to something a bit more serious. This is an important day for both you and your church family. Important days like this deserve important words. Let me tell you that some of my most favorite important words can be found in Paul's letter to his young friend Timothy. History tells us that Paul and Timothy were very, very close. As a matter of fact, that great apostle called him my true son in the faith. In both the first and second letters, Paul offers his young protege some solid advice, some of it theological and some of it practical. He urged him, for example, to not only to continue to practice the doctrines and disciplines that he had taught them, but also to remember the lessons that he had learned from his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. Paul also offered him advice in organizing the church and advice for living a successful Christian life. The advice that Paul offered not only turned out to be beneficial for Timothy, but for every generation of Christians since. At this momentous time of life, I would urge you to read those letters for yourself. The fact that each of them is relatively short should make that rather appealing after all of those finals. I have always thought that these two letters of Paul make this loving advice to a ready to go out in the world young person are excellent examples to follow. And so on this day, when your church family recognizes you and your accomplishments, your pastor would like to offer some similar wisdom in a very similar fashion. I pray that you find it worthwhile. If you do, then please remember that I own the copyright. So if you're ready, let's begin. Tom, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the command of God our Savior and of Jesus Christ our hope, to the class of 2011, my true sons and daughters in the faith, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give great thanks for the good work that you have done and are about to do. Even though I have only been here a year, it gives me a great deal of satisfaction knowing that my ecclesiastical predecessors and I just may have played some small part in the amazing people that you have become as you take your next step on your journey. Whether that step turns out to be to continue your education or enter the workforce, I would like to share some practical wisdom that I have garnered through the years. I've used this wisdom as well. It has helped me, and I pray it helps you. The first piece of wisdom that I would like to share is to invite you to remember to accept the help of those who offer it. Accept the help of those who offer it. Don't be afraid to grab hold of that outstretched hand. I know from whence I speak. During my first pastorate, for example, there was a Sunday in which the person who usually baked the communion bread was overcome with an illness. Mrs. Webster, that gracious veteran of the church kitchen who lived just next door to the parsonage, offered to take her place and prepare the elements for the upcoming service. In order to show her that I, a holder of both a bachelor's and a master's degree, as well as a person of the male persuasion, was able to accomplish this rather basic task, I turned down her offer. That was unfortunate. Picking up one of those prepared loaves from the freezer section of the local Piggly Wiggly, I allowed it to rise and then popped it into the oven. Out of that oven came a golden loaf of bread, the staff of life, the body of Christ. Upon reflecting upon my culinary endeavors, however, I now realize that more than likely, I failed to properly preheat the oven. For upon breaking the bread, that high point in the Eucharistic liturgy known as the fraction, the uncooked middle fell out of the loaf and splatted onto the altar. I should have accepted Mrs. Webster's gracious offer for help. For even these many years later, the good members of that little church know me not as a brilliant theologian or homiletical genius, but simply as the idiot who didn't know how to bake the communion bread. Class of 2011, I invite you to swallow your pride and accept the help of those who offer it. As you go out into the world, I would also like you to remember that despite your degree, you are still human. That little piece of parchment doesn't keep you immune from the foibles and miscues of life. A colleague, for example, is the perfect example. He served in a church that preferred to use the King James Version of the Bible, preferred to use it rather than some of the newer translations that are available. On Palm Sunday, he read the story of Jesus entering Jerusalem on a donkey. But the King James Version, you may remember, doesn't use the word donkey. Well, my colleague made it through the reading of the scripture just fine, and then went on to the preaching of his sermon. He reminded the people that after riding into the city, Jesus got off his beast of burden and ministered to the people of the city. His exegesis of the text was spot on. His exposition, however, needed a little help. For when he came to the climax, you all know what's going to come, don't you? When he came to the climax of his message, he proclaimed in lyric King James and perfect humanity, and if we are to do anything for God in this city, my brothers and sisters, we are going to have to get off our ass and go out into the city. Upon seeing the looks of pure horror coming from the women's section, and hearing the peals of laughter rolling out of the youth section, he realized just what he said. There was nothing left to do other than to pronounce the benediction and to go home quickly. Or take my friend Will. He also participated in one of the great miscues of life during an infant baptism. It began innocently enough. Mother and father brought their son to the baptismal font one beautiful Sunday morning. Will began the service with all the appropriate liturgical pomp. The parents answered each question properly. The baby gurgled and cooed at all the appropriate moments. The service was picture perfect until the time came for the actual baptism. Glad to be out of her maternity clothes, the mother wore a beautiful sundress that, by all accounts, she wore quite well. It was the kind with a lot of elastic up top and no straps. Well, as she handed the baby to Will, the baby decided that he did not want to go. He held on to his mother for dear life. And his mama, well, she fell out of her dress. Remember that, Aaron. Remember that. When it came time for the preacher to ask what name is given this child, what came out of Will's mouth, however, was something like, "What name is given this breast?" Now, this was a man with two postgraduate degrees from very prestigious institutions. The diplomas lined his walls. Yet all of that learning did not keep him from demonstrating all of his humanity at the most inappropriate of moments. Class of 2011, remember that despite all of your academic accolades, you are still very, very human. As you take that next step on your journey of life, I would also like to invite you to be prepared for anything. Be prepared for anything. Even though you now have that degree and are well trained for all eventualities, you never really know what the future will bring. Once again, I speak from experience. It was 2 days before Thanksgiving. My family had already made the trip over the river and through the woods, and I would join them at grandmother's house right after I preached the annual community Thanksgiving service that would be held at the local Baptist church. On the night before the service, I woke up in the middle of the night to make a trip to the bathroom. Half asleep, I turned on the light and seated myself as I always did. It was then I noticed some movement out of the corner of my eye. Half asleep, I realized that, my first thought was, well, with sleep filling my eyes, it was just something, a trick that life usually plays on you at 3:30 in the morning. I thought nothing of it. As I continued to complete the task that I started, however, that movement now appeared to be right directly in front of me. It was at that point I looked down and saw a black four-legged creature with a white stripe running down his back sauntering past my feet. Even after all of these years, I can honestly say that you have never really lived until you've been sitting on the pot in the middle of the night and had a skunk walk in front of you. As scared as I was, I can also say that I was certainly sitting in the right place. Jumping up, I ran out of the bathroom and I slammed the door. I paced the bedroom wondering how in the world I was ever going to get that skunk out of there. Finally, summoning up the courage to do something, I opened the door to look in, only to discover that that rather odoriferous creature was gone. Being of a pier and beam construction, the parsonage had allowed the skunk to get underneath it, which gave him the opportunity to chew its way in through the damp planks below the bathtub. Fortunately, he got out the same way. Breathing a sigh of relief, I quickly repaired the hole. Years after that night, some of the more compassionate members of that United Methodist Church will still call me to see if I've had any more adventures in the bathroom. Living now in a house with a basement and a dog guarding the doors, I could tell them at least I am now prepared for any eventuality. But who knows what the future might hold? Class of 2011, be prepared for anything. Now, for the past few minutes, I've offered some of the pearls of wisdom that I have garnered through the years since I sat in that very same place that you sit today. Hopefully, you have found my advice helpful. But all of that comes from my own experience. Others have wisdom to share as well. I started my words to you this morning by mentioning the Apostle Paul and the almost fatherly advice that he gave young Timothy. We would do well to return to that advice. One of the many things that Paul told Timothy was to fight the good fight by having faith and a good conscience. Fight the good fight by having faith and a good conscience. Heed those words, graduates. To succeed at anything, faith is needed. Faith in oneself, faith in one's cause, faith in those who are willing to help you along the way. Most importantly, for those of us who call ourselves Christian, faith in the God who has been revealed in and through Jesus Christ is also needed. Faith, you will remember, is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is that which enabled Abraham and Sarah to venture out into an unknown land. Faith is that which enabled Moses and Aaron to lead a group of complaining Israelites to freedom. Faith is that which enabled the adolescent Mary to believe that which was told to her. And faith is that which will enable you to walk out of here into the future that is ahead of you. It will also inform and strengthen your conscience, which is not only your moral compass, but that which enables you to embrace the new creation that God has placed in front of you. I like how Eugene Peterson, the author of the translation known as The Message, has rendered the apostle's words to Timothy. Listen. You have been raised on the message of faith, and you have followed sound teaching. Now pass this counsel to others. Get the word out. Teach all these things. And don't let anyone put you down because you're young. Teach believers with your life, by word, by demeanor, by love, by faith, by integrity. Cultivate these things. Immerse yourself in them. The people will see you mature right before your eyes. Keep a firm grasp on both your character and your teaching. Don't be diverted. Just keep at it. Both you and those who hear you will experience salvation. Class of 2011, in just a few moments, I'm going to invite you to come forward so that we can all recognize you properly. Once again, please know that your church family is very proud of you. Whether you have achieved your high school or college diploma or whether you have received a postgraduate degree, we want to celebrate with you as you have reached this very important milestone in your faith, as you come forward, let me help you put this momentous time in your life into perspective by telling you of the day that I went to visit one of the pillars of both church and community at the local hospital. Knocking on the door, as I always do, I announced myself and was invited in. Even though she was experiencing a very bad case of hospital hair that day, y'all know what hospital hair is, don't you? She received me in her typical PhD fashion. Immediately, she engaged me in a discussion about her illness, and I was able to use my seminary-honed, church-tested pastoral skills as I did my part in the healing process. I empathized, I sympathized, and I even theologized. I also took her hand as I began to pray. As I did, I noticed a rather low guttural sound emitting from somewhere around the middle of the bed. It was quickly followed by the distinctive echo of a rush of mighty waters. It was then that I realized the truth that I wished to pass on to you this morning, class of 2011. And that truth is this: enjoy the day, for the distance between the diploma and the bedpan is short indeed. Class of 2011, whoever you may be, I invite you to come forward right now so that we can recognize you. Come on down, as they say. And I think I know that these are just students, but I think we have one other education person who is graduating. Kim Whitehouse, you're passing on. This is a milestone in your life too, so you need to come on down as well. She is graduating, as you know, from the elementary school to whatever Bob tells her. These are our graduates this year, and we are indeed very proud of them. In your bulletin, you will find a prayer for our graduates. And I invite you to pray it with me. God of truth and knowledge, by your wisdom we are taught the way and the truth. Bless the class of 2011 as they now finish the course of their studies. We thank you for those who taught and worked beside them and all who supported them along the way. Walk with these graduates as they leave and move forward in life. Take away their anxiety and confusion of purpose. Strengthen their many talents and skill. Instill in them a confidence in the future you plan, where energies may be gathered up and used for the good of all people, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. And Matt? And Kim, he didn't know you were coming up, so you don't get none.
I'll get you one.
Oh, yeah. Well, let us greet our graduates with a prayer. And you may return to your seats.